Hashem, where would we be without the Or Gedaliah in the world? Oh, Ephraim, I like that. Nice background. Okay, we're up to Os Beis in his section of Divrei Torah on the Haggadah Shel Pesach and the Yom Tov of Pesach. We know one of the most famous lines, maybe the most important line from the Haggadah, of course already discussed in Maseches Pesachim, Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Kol Shalo Amar, anyone who does not say Pesach Matzah Umaror, has not fulfilled their obligation. Pesach Shahayu Avoseinu V'chulu, Al Shumma, why do we eat the Pesach? And we bring Psukim. Matzah Al Shumma, Maror Al Shumma. So our Rebbe, the Or Gedaliah, Rav Gedaliah Shur, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, is going to teach us a lesson about Pesach, a lesson about Matzah, and a lesson about Mor. Nizbar Khan, Hagimel Giluyim Shahaya Be'ez Shiatu B'nei Yisrael Mimitzrayim. What's being revealed to us here by Rabbi Gamliel, who's telling us that we need to talk about Pesach, and we need to talk about Matzah, and we need to talk about Mor. These are three levels or expressions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation as taking us out of Mitzrayim. And these three experiences that we had at the time continue to exist in every generation by way of fulfilling these mitzvahs. So in other words, when I engage in Pesach, Matzah, Maror, and you'll say, well, we don't have a Karban Pesach. It's a good point. But when I engage in Pesach, Matzah, and Maror to whatever degree I'm able to, so I'm able to tap into the lesson of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, and in all places at all times. When the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, there was unbelievable revelation and clarity. That's what we're longing for and hoping for. First and foremost, we have to realize that here we were, a slave nation, on the 49th level of Tumah. And next thing you know, all of a sudden, we're experiencing Giluy Shechina, the greatest revelation of godliness that the world has ever known. It was much more, he says, than their hasaga, than their ability to grasp, or what they deserved to receive. They were totally unworthy of such a revelation. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a geula that we experienced derech dilug. What does dilug mean? Dilug means skipping or jumping ahead. In other words, Hashem helped us to cheat, as it were, that we wouldn't have to climb level by level the normal way that a person ascends spiritually, but Hashem would grab us, so to speak, by our, whatever we had, I don't know, payas, for those who had payas, beards, for those who had beards, our ears, for those who had ears. Hashem grabbed us by something, grabbed us by our arms, right, and yanked us out of Mitzrayim. Derech dilug. We jumped ahead many levels. Sha'af lo hayu ru'uyim la ge'ula, ba yisarusa de la eila. Even though we were unworthy of redemption, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm taking it on my shoulders. The isarusa, the arousal, came mila'ela, from above. Va'inyan hazeh mora ha'achilas Pesach. And that's what Pesach is about. The very word Pesach, al shum she'pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu al batei avoseinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over. Hashem skipped over our homes. What does that mean? It doesn't just mean that when Hashem was making Machus Bechoros in Mitzrayim, He spared the Jews. But it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to experience this jump, this leap. Ukamosha Piresh Rashi, Elliot, can I order one also? Ukamosha Piresh Rashi, as Rashi explains, Shepesach hu melashon dilug, that Pesach, the word Pesach means, you know, as we say in English, Passover, right? To skip over. Ukamosha Darshu Chazal al Akralik, Chazal explained on the Pasuk, Midaleg al Heharim. The Pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Midaleg al Heharim, jumping over, skipping over the mountains. Shekoy al Yitzias Mitzrayim. Jumping over all of the impediments. The Yitzhara is compared to a har, as we've spoken about in the past. The Sfarim say that har is gematria of the four exiles. If you take the gematria of Bavel, plus Madai, plus Yavon, plus Edom, it's gematria har. So Midaleg al Harim means skipping over all of the blockage, all of the galus, all of the impediments. Midaleg al Harim. Mitzrayim, we got to jump ahead. We skipped out of Mitzrayim. That we left Mitzrayim in a remarkable way. And it was not by our own efforts. V'hu inyan oso ha'zgalas shaya beis yitzias Mitzrayim b'isarusa de la'ela b'lishu ru'uyim b'nei Yisrael l'kach. And this is the experience that we had in Mitzrayim that allowed us to get a taste of a giloy shechina we were unworthy of. Ach be'eis sheba hizgalas ha'shechina. But in those moments where you get a taste, where Hashem gives you a free taste of something much greater than you're worthy of, trichim lios nimshach achar hazgalas. Our job is to get into line and to chase it, to pursue it, and to try to hold on to it. Lagbias atzma mitum aso lios nimshach achar hazgalas. We'll explain what this means in a minute. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a glimpse of something bigger than yourself, grab it and run with it. Vayamalis b'nei Yisrael asher hayu nimshachim acher ha'izgalus. And the greatness, if we did anything right, chaver, in that moment, is that when Hashem gave us a chance to run with it, we grabbed it and we ran. Ki adrab, ha'risha migodol ha'behiris shi'esh be'ez ha'izgalus ha'shchina, heim ne'avadim. Unfortunately, those individuals who can't handle shining down upon them, so they're overwhelmed by that light, and they're destroyed by that light. Sarfan, that same fire that could spark a flame inside of a person, to ignite a person's passion for Avodas Hashem, for Kirvas Elokus, for being to Hashem, if you don't receive it in the right way, it'll consume you, it'll burn you up. But the beautiful thing about Yisrael, if we could say one thing right about Klal Yisrael, it was that yes, even on that 49th level of Tumah, there was a spark inside of us that was pure and that was wholesome. The Hashem gave us that Giloy Shechina, we grabbed it, it clicked, it aligned itself with something in ourselves that was still wholesome, and we were able to grab it. The Egyptians were burnt to a crisp. The Egyptians were overwhelmed by it. But Klal Yisrael, L'chol B'nei Or B'mosh V'osam, right? The Jewish people were basking in that same light that was Choshech for the Egyptians. Aval B'nei Yisrael Asher Adayin Nishar Behem Nekuda Tahora. And it's true at every situation. In any situation, a Jew always has that inner spark, Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahora hi. Az be'ez hezgalus ha'or ha'gadol, b'shas yitzias Mitzrayim, when that great light was shining upon us as we emerged from Egypt, nimshuchu achar hezgalus, we were drawn after it. As the Pasuk says, mashcheni acharecha narutza. The Pasuk from Shir HaShirim, mashcheni acharecha, Hashem, just pull us towards you. And then Narutza will come running, we'll follow after you. Shayamalis b'nei Yisrael, ki achar shahaya mashcheni, the greatness of b'nei Yisrael is that when Hashem gave us a mashcheni, al yedei giloi shechina, by revealing himself in Mitzrayim, hayu nimshachin achar, we were drawn after it. Acharecha Narutza, we ran with it. V'zehu inyan ha-matza, and this is the idea of matza as well. So Pesach is Hashem gives us that jump, that opportunity to leap. And this is the inyan of matzah as well. Al shum shalo hispik, matzah is a reminder that we didn't allow our bread to rise. At shenigla alei, amelech malchim lachim akadosh baruch hu. In other words, Pesach and matzah go hand in hand. Pesach says, Hashem says, do you want to take a leap? Do you want to jump? And we grab Hashem's hand and we say, we're ready to jump. Right? If you're not ready, your matzah's not baked, you're not really ready. But Hashem, with faith, we jump with you. Also on the Kuda Asher Yashna B'chol Yish Yisrael, we grab onto that point inside of ourselves that somehow believes that if we jump, we're going to make it to the other side. HaNekuda HaTahora Asher Ein B'mashu Chametz, the point inside that is free from Chametz, that Matzadika part of ourselves, V'nimshcha Achrei HaZgalus HaShchina. And we run with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chavra, maybe some of you know the story. I don't remember exactly the Nusach. Do I have it down here? I feel like I have it upstairs. I just remembered the story now. There's a story, it's a famous story with the Skolana Rebbe. I think the mice with the Skolana Rebbe in, what's her name? The Tales of the Holocaust? Yaffa Eliach. Yaffa Eliach's Tales of the Holocaust. Someone Google it, maybe you'll pull up the Nusach. The story with the Skolana Rebbe, when he was standing with a fellow, when they were looking over this mass grave, and the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, said, anyone who can't jump from one side of the ditch to the other side of the ditch
and
is...
I held on your tales, no?
Well, you got it? You got the Maisa?
Yeah, no, it's the first story of the book. I have the book.
You have it with you?
Let me find it.
Anyways, basically the Maisa goes like this. They had to jump over this ditch. It was like a huge expanse. You know, you'd have to be like an Olympic, long jumper to make it to the other side. And this Galana Rebbe and this fellow are standing there, and they're about to be murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. And this Galana Rebbe says, okay, we have to try to do whatever we can to save ourselves. And they close their eyes, and they jump, and they make it to the other side. And the Galana Rebbe said that he was able to make it to the other side. He was grabbing. Oh, here we go. New Jamie, why don't you read it to us? Read the Maisa.
It's low.
So just read the punchline. Read the punchline. Read the last paragraph.
Fine. I'll read that last.
How did they get to the other side of the pit?
After they reached the pit, the rabbit closes, and they opened their eyes. They found themselves standing over the other side of the pit. Spiro, we are here. We are here. We are alive. The friend repeated over and over again. A warm tear streamed from his eyes. Spira, for your sake, I'm alive. Indeed, there must be a God in heaven. Tell me, Rebbe, how did you do it? I was holding on to my ancestral merit. I was holding on to the coattails of my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, of blessed memory, said the rabbi, and his eyes searched the black skies above. Tell me, my friend, how did you reach the other side of the pit? I was holding on to you, replied the rabbi's friend.
Oh. Yeah, the Skolana Rebbe grabbed onto his chus avos, and he jumped across the pit. And he asked this friend, this person who was struggling with his belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, knew, how did you make it to the other side of the pit? So he said, Rabbi, I was holding on to your coattails. I was holding on to you. I mean, everyone needs something to grab onto, something to pull them through. But that's what Pesach offers us. Three words. Mashcheini acharecha narutza. Mashcheini acharecha narutza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Mashcheini. Hashem gives us a pull, and our job is just to acharecha narutza, just grab on, hold on to a Kodesh Baruch Hu's coattails, kiviyachol, and then you'll find that we actually make it through. That's Pesach and Matzah. The jump, Pesach is the leap, and Matzah is, again, that food of faith that we were willing to chase after a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and to hold on, even though we didn't have food. Our food wasn't baked, our bread wasn't baked. How are we going to survive in the wilderness? But we went with faith, clinging to Hashem, knowing that we would make it to the other side. Okay, Chaver, let's read a few of these footnotes because they're very, very beautiful. Okay, so I'm just going to scroll down here. Let's start with footnote number 4. V'yadua perish harav HaKadosh Rav Baruch Mimezhbush. Rav Baruch Mimezhbush. Sechir Tzadik Levracha. Rav Baruch Mimezhbush was Rabbi Nachman of Breslov's uncle. Rav Baruch Mimezhbush was the brother of our Rebbe, the Degel Machaneh Ephraim. Rav Baruch of Mezhbush said on the pasuk, "Upasach Hashem al haPesach, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Pasach Hashem, skipped over the doorways of the Jewish people." What it means on a deeper level is as follows: Shebechol makom tzrichim mikodem isarus delatata. Typically, the rule is Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "Just give me a little bit, and I'll take it the rest of the way." Hashem says, "Just meet me somewhere along the way." Hashem says, "I ask for a little bit of your assistance." Ukamosha Amru, like it says in the Medrash and Shir Hashirim, "Pischu li Pesach kechudo shal machat." Hashem says, "Make an opening. Show a willingness to work with me. Give me an opening the size of a machat. Literally means the eye of a needle, the tiniest little opening. Give me a tiny opening," Hashem says, "and I'll open it up the rest of the way." That's typically how it works. Hashem says, "Give me a little something, meet me part of the way." Shetzrichem mikodem liftoach pesach chatan. Give me a small opening, Hashem says. Va'achar kach, and afterwards baha isarus de'le'ela. And then afterwards, I'll take it the rest of the way. But on Pesach, Hakadosh Baruch Hu was pasach ala pesach. Hashem skipped over the opening means that on Pesach, Hashem skipped over the opening. You don't even need to make a little opening. Hashem says, "I'm not even going to wait for you to take that first step." Shalohim tina kadosh baruch hu ala Pesach milamata. I'm not going to wait for you to make me a tiny opening. Rather, galam b'isarusa de la eila, b'li isarusa de la tata. Hashem said, "I'm going to do the whole thing. I'm going to make the first step. I'm going to drag you along." Again, our job is hopefully that as Hashem starts pulling you, then you get pulled along. That when Hashem starts pulling you, Mashcheini, when Hashem starts dragging you out of Mitzrayim by your payas, yeah, acharecha narutza, fall into line and keep running. But you don't have to make that, you don't even have to make that first step. Now, I know, you could ask Akasha. You could say, well, they did make a first step. Karban Pesach, Bris Milah, there were things they were doing in Mitzrayim to get themselves ready. But on a certain level, they were in such a low place that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't come himself to take us out, Ani V'lo Malach, Ani V'lo Saraf, Ani V'lo Shliach, if Hashem doesn't take us out of Mitzrayim, if He doesn't make that first move, then we're going to drown in Mitzrayim. And Hashem in His kindness pulled us out of Mitzrayim. Okay? Footnote number 5. V'inyin hazeh be'emes muvur b'yosar etzel mafeich ha-sedom. And this idea of what? Of being willingness to come along with it when Hashem reveals Himself to you, we find by the overturning of Sodom. Because again, when Hashem reveals Himself, one of two things is going to happen. You'll either be very inspired by it, or you'll be completely shattered by it. In Sodom, the pasuk says, Hashem says, I'm going to go down to Sodom and see what's happening there. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows up, you know, it's like a person's, sitting in a closed room doing something they shouldn't be doing, and then all of a sudden, like, someone walks in, and they're caught in the act, whatever it is, right? It could be the most embarrassing thing in the world. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, shows up in your life, you're either like, whoa, Hashem's here, this is amazing, this is so exciting, or you're totally broken by it because you're totally caught off guard, and you're totally overwhelmed by it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, I hear cries coming from Sodom. I hear the pains and the cries of people being abused in Sodom. Hashem says, I'm going to go check it out myself. That's a very scary thought of Hashem showing up. That's sort of the reason that we're both inspired and struggling in what we're experiencing in the world right now. Because for some of us, this virus, you know, taking place in the world right now, is this like sudden, on a certain level, there's like this sudden Gilui Shechina of sorts. It's a painful revelation, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind of, you know, taking the whole world in His hand once again. And that's a very overwhelming thing. It's very inspiring on one hand, and it's utterly overwhelming on another hand. So the pasuk says, Hashem says, I'm going to go down to Sodom and check it out. Uvetargum afarish isgale. The Targum says, I'm going to reveal myself in Sodom. Velo kishar hamafarshim she'ein zu lashon shel hisgalus hashchina. As opposed to other mafarshim who don't explain this as a lashon of revelation, but explains the Rebbe Rav Bunama Prashischa. That what is the Targum saying by saying Hashem's going to reveal Himself? Ki hayazek kamoni sayon. Ledas im yagbiu asam mitoch tumasam lezgalis hashchina. Again, when you're wallowing in the mud and God shows up, right? Do you duck under the mud to try to hide deeper in the mud? Or do you jump out of the mud and come running back into Hashem's arms? When Hashem reveals Himself, you could either run the other way, or you could jump into Hashem's arms. It could be a pull towards tshuva. That revelation is a heavenly arousal. It's an opportunity. It's an invitation. That's a good way to say it. It's an invitation for a person to be chozer b'tshuva. And therefore, before Hashem came to destroy Sodom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Sodom, and He revealed Himself in Sodom. And of course, the people of Sodom were not ready to be Mekabel Hashem, and because of that, they were utterly shattered by it. He goes on a couple lines later, he quotes from the Shem Yishmuel, that the same thing happened by Makas Choshech. Makas Choshech, 4/5 of Klal Yisrael died because they couldn't handle the light. What do you mean light? I thought Makas Choshech was darkness. For a person who can handle it, it was light. And that's why for the Egyptians, they were stuck in the dark, but for the Jewish people, they were experiencing the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation. He gives one more example in footnote 6. He says, if you look in Dvar and Perek Dalet, in Parshas Ve'anan, there's two psukim, beautiful psukim. The psukim describe the beauty, the greatness of Klal Yisrael. Hashama, two lines from the bottom here. Hashama kol elokim midaber mitoch ha'esh kasher shamata ata vayechi. Has any people ever heard the word of God and lived to tell the tale? You have. Ohanisa elokim lavo lakachas lo bikarev goy. Or has any other nation survived, one nation living amongst another nation? Says the Or Gedaliah in this footnote, it's two praises of Klal Yisrael. Number one, it's the fact that when you were living amongst the Egyptians, as much as you became Egyptian, but there was something that was still authentically Jewish about you. Goy mikarev goy. You maintained an independent nation living amongst another nation. You weren't completely swallowed up. There was an akuda tahora that remained intact. And second of all, the second praise of Klal Yisrael, he explains in this footnote that when you came to Kabbalah Satorah, you were able to hear the word of God and you were big enough to receive it. Most people would have been crushed by it. But Klal Yisrael, because of our spiritual nature, we were able to receive the word of Hashem. However, I want to pause here before we go on the next page, at the top of the next page, just scrolling up. And I want to share with you really a very frightening but very, very powerful vart from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. It's found in the Kesser Shem Tov, for anyone who has the Sefer. And it's in Os Kuf Ches. It's also quoted by many of the other tzaddikim and talmidei Baal Shem Tov, in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef brings it, I think, in Parshas Bo. You'll recognize the pasuk. We say it as part of Psukei de Zimra. It's the Shir Shal Yom for Wednesday. Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hofia. You recognize the pasuk from Tehillim? El Nekamos Hashem, El Nekamos Hofia. Hashem is a God of Nekama. Nekama is a strong word. Nekama means vengeance or revenge. Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hofia. Someone unmute and tell me, what does the word Hofia mean? What does the word Hofia mean? Anyone know?
Appear.
To appear, thank you. Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hofia. A God of vengeance appears. That's a very scary sounding image. Elliot, I'm going to get to you in a minute, okay? Kel Nekamos Hofia, a God who's vengeful appears. Yeah, that's what it means. Hashem appears with his, you know, his sword in his hand. Hashem Ish Melchama, he comes to, what, to destroy the world. What did we just learn? We just learned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, and if you're ready to receive, it's a beautiful experience. What is the feeling that we have in the world right now? Let's be very real for a second. Do we feel afraid for our lives, or do we feel inspired by the possibility of tasting Mashiach maybe more than ever? And I'm not predicting that this is Mashiach. I'm also not saying it's not Mashiach. My daughter keeps asking me, Daddy, is this Mashiach? I don't know if this is Mashiach, and no one knows if this is Mashiach. I know that we have, as Jews, we have an obligation to long for Mashiach every day. But how do we feel right now? Are we scared? Are we inspired? And again, it's a combination of the two. But Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hofia. Listen to this. The Baal Shem Tov said a mashal. Again, this is in the Kesser Shem Tov and Os Kuf Ches, 108. Al pi mashal li'ish kvar echod shemarad b'melech. There was once a simple villager who rebelled against the king. How did he rebel against the king? Shehika v'ragom ikonan shel melech okiyotze bazeh. He took a stick, or he took a rock, and he threw it at an ikonon shel melech. Ikonon means like an image of the king. Let's say, you know, there was a king, there was a big statue in the, you know, in the plaza of the king of that particular region of the world, right? And this rebel came and in his to take a stance against the king because he doesn't like the king or he doesn't trust the king. He takes a rock and he throws it at the statue of the king, or a beautiful painting of the king. Right? He goes and he sprays graffiti on the painting of the king. Terrible avla, terrible offense. How does the king punish him? Well, he could throw him into jail. He can give him lashes. You know, he could have him executed, send him to the gallows. There's another way the king could punish him, which is in many ways even more painful. You know what the king did? Says the Baal Shem Tov, Miyad Osa HaMelech Oso L'Rosh. The king said, you know what? Your punishment is going to be that I'm giving you a government position. And he gave him a government position. V'haleyu mimadrega l'madrega. He started off as, you know, like a small town governor. And then he got an even higher position, a higher position, a higher position. Ad shenasa mishna l'melech. Until he became second in command. He became mamish mishna l'melech. And he started to work closely alongside the king. And you know what he saw about the king? He saw, this king is such a good guy. This king works so hard. This king cares so much about the people. And all the misinformation about the king that spread, you know, by the media, right? It's all a bunch of lies to slander the king. And when you get to know the king on a personal level, you see, wow, the king, everything he does is sometimes it's hard for people to grasp it, but everything he does is well intended. And everything he does is because he cares. And the punishment for this fellow is his realization that the king is actually good. Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Hafiyah. Says the Baal Shem Tov, it's such a powerful insight. The Baal Shem Tov says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, and all the times you were angry at Hashem, and all the times you said, Hashem, what the hell are you doing in the world? I don't understand. Why are people suffering so much? Right? And you're so frustrated at Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally reveals himself at the end, and Hashem says, look, look, it was all part of my master plan. And you're so embarrassed. You say, I was such a katan, I was such a child, that I question you. How did I have the audacity to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't trying to, this wasn't part of the master plan. How did I give up on Hashem along the way? And that becomes your punishment. When Hashem reveals himself and displays himself, and you realize that you judged Hashem unfairly, that could be the biggest punishment of all. So, Chevra, it takes a lot of spiritual depth and maturity to hang tight during these days when the world is really rocky and shaky. But realize, all it's going to take, the way that the Chafetz Chaim said it, the same way Yosef said, Ani Yosef, in two words, Ani Yosef, it answered everything for the brothers, everything they had been going through. So all it's going to take, says the Chafetz Chaim, is Mashiach to say, Ani Mashiach, and Hashem to say, Ani Hashem, or maybe three words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, to hear that voice of Hashem in the world once again, and all of our questions are going to disappear in a second. So let's be people who have strong faith, and again, grab onto Hashem, Ashcheini Acharecha Narutza. That's Pesach and Matzah. But Chevra, now we come to Maor, and those of us who got together yesterday to learn for a little bit, we learned a little bit about the Maor yesterday from the Drashos Beis Yishai of Shlomo Fisher Shlita. Let's see how the Ur Gedaliah explains Maor. Okay, we're at the top of the next page. V'inyan achilas ha-maror. Oh, Elliot, I promise you could say something. Okay, let's hear. I want to be honest. I don't want you to take revenge against me.
We can keep going if you want.
If it's quick, say.
So the first thing I was going to say, I'll drop because it was from Gedaliah Shor, and I thought it would be appropriate, but I don't have it clear. So I'll just ask, this situation over here, we had this big, what we were discussing before, this big Iskalas of Shechina, and some people like could run after it, but some people like they crumble under the pressure.
Right.
Is that what we suspect happened to Asher?
Is that, yeah. That's a good example. Yeah, for those who don't know what Elliot's referencing, the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Yodali tells the story of the four Tanayim who went into the Pardes. And Rabbi Akiva warned them, when you have such a lofty spiritual experience, it could either be very inspiring or it could be very, very confusing. And some of you are going to be able to absorb the experience and be elevated by it. And some of us, if we're not properly prepared, will be destroyed by it. So Elisha ben Avuya ended up going off the derech. Ben Azai and Ben Zoma also suffered terribly from the experience. Ben Azai saw such holiness that he died. Maybe a very holy death, but he died. Ben Zoma went crazy from the experience, and only Rabbi Akiva was nichlas b'shalom v'yatza b'shalom. So yes, when a person has a spiritually lofty experience, it can be very overwhelming. Absolutely.
But did Rabbi Akiva come out better, or he came out the same? That sounds like Nichlan Shalom V'yatz B'Shalom.
Yeah, it's a good question. Stama, he came out better, but yeah, it does say he went in B'Shalom and came out B'Shalom. Yeah, it's a good question, good point. Okay, Chava, let's go weiter. V'inyan achilas hamar mevi asfas emes b'shem achidushi arim. So we learned about Pesach and Matzah and the need to emphasize what is Pesach. Hashem gives you a chance to jump. Matzah, have the faith. Have the willingness, even when you don't understand exactly what you're chasing after, grab onto it and just run with it. Hold on tight. Like that Yid holding onto the coattails of the Skolana Rebbe and jumping over that pit that was dug by the Nazis, Yamach Shemam. So says the Sfas Emes, in the name of his grandfather, what is the Maror? Kimasha hayamar lahem hayagamkim litovasam. As all the tzaddikim, as you learn Torah more deeply, you start to realize that everything that appears bitter on the surface is really a bracha in disguise. It's the maturity, the maror is the realization, again, that even the bitterness is really for our own good. It's part of a process. To thank Hashem, yes, to bring to the Seder the maror, not the maror as something that we're, intimidated by, but something that we celebrate. We make a bracha on maror. We make a mitzvah of maror. Because all of Golis is just a prerequisite. It's a preparation for Geula that comes afterwards. And even though while you're in it, you wonder what the heck is going on. I don't understand why Hashem is doing it this way. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding from us. He's not interested in us. But acher kach be'es ha-ge'ula. But when that ge'ula moment comes, heyvinu v'yedu, eich shekol ha-gulis ha'yle tovasam. We see how it's all part of the master plan. V'lo ha'elim einav mehem. And Hashem did not ignore us for a second. U'kishagalu ha'ya ha-shechina imam. And when we went into Gullis, the Shechina was with us. As Hashem promised Yaakov Avinu, Anochi eired imcha Mitzrayim, I will go down to Egypt with you. V'kotus, I will descend. Eired here is translated as a descent. Hashem descends with us. The Ramban explains, why is the Targum using the word to descend? Why doesn't it translate as iskale, like we just saw in the footnote? When Hashem went to Sodom, Hashem said, Erda, I'm going to go down. The Targum translates it, I'm going to reveal myself. In Mitzrayim, when it says that I'm going to go down with you, the Targum Unkelish translates it, yeah, I'm going to go down with you. Because, explains the Ramban, Kipshuto, because that's what's happening in Mitzrayim. When we go down, Hashem goes down with us. Hashem suffers with us. Hashem is not abandoning us. V'kan kasav Kipshuto, ki hu laharos ki kiviyachol be'eis sheyardu, we just scroll down a little bit, be'eis sheyardu Mitzrayim, when we went down to Mitzrayim, Yarad Imahem Ashchina, Tocha Hester. When we went into that dark place, that hidden place in our lives, Hashem also goes into a hidden place. But just like we were alive and well in Mitzrayim, at least on an internal level, Hashem is still there on an internal level. Even though on the surface it's very hidden. Ukamosha Amru, like the Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Megillah, Chavtes Amar Aleph, that Galu LaBavel Shchina Imahem. When we went to Babel, Hashem was with us. When we went to Paras Umadai, Hashem was with us. Galus Yavan, Hashem was with us. V'chein b'chol galus v'galus. And the same is true in each and every galus, Hashem is with us. Ach be'ez ha-galus ein margishim ha-gilo yishchina v'ashkocha mimarim. But when you're in it, it's so hard to see it. Aval achar ha-ge'ula ro'im eich shekol ha-mariras shel ha-galus. When it's all over, we recognize that all the bitterness of the galus was be'ena pekicha, with a watching eye, that Hashem was watching from on high. V'shagam b'socha hester, that even, yes, within all of that hester, hayaz galus ha-shechina, there was tremendous revelation. V'algilei hazeh mora inyan mara, and that's what the mara teaches us. Al ha-shras ha-shechina ba-hester b'soch meriris shel ha-galus, that even when we were in that galus, we have to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's watchful eye was always there. And by the way, being able to feel pain is actually a very powerful sign of life, right? If, God forbid, a person is so badly injured that they can't even feel their own pain, that's a sign that things are really bad. When you can taste the bitterness, that's actually a good sign. When you can feel the pain, there's a story of there's a lot of stories like this. I remember once reading a story of an Israeli soldier who was terribly injured. He was so badly injured, he couldn't feel anything. And when he started to cry out in pain, when he started to get some feeling back in his legs and he felt the horrible pain of his injury, right? The people around him were smiling because they said, that's a sign that maybe you'll heal. So says the Sfas Emes in footnote 7, and then Yehuda Colton, you can unmute yourself right after this footnote, says the Sfas Emes in footnote number 7, Tafresh Lamed Beis, Sfas Emes explains again in the name of his grandfather, the Chidush Arim, Ki Aschalas Nitzos HaGeula. You know what the beginning of Geula was? When the Jews started to cry out. When the Jews started to feel their own bitterness, they had become so numb from all those years of suffering, they couldn't feel anymore. And when they started to feel again, like the Pasuk says, Asher otzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, the Chiddush Arim says, that haschalas hageula haya, shelo hayyicholin lispol hamitzrim, when they couldn't bear it anymore, when they could no longer be sovel it. Right? We were so beat up, like a person sometimes in an abusive relationship, they're so badly abused that they've lost all sight of what's considered normal, that they think this is normal. And when they start to realize, oh my gosh, this is not normal, and they start to cry out for help, that's a sign, oh, Baruch Hashem, maybe there's hope, you can be saved. So when Klal Yisrael say, we can't take it anymore in Mitzrayim, and they start to feel the bitterness of their own suffering, and they start to realize this is crazy, yes, it's more painful initially. Those last 83 years, Chazal say, in Gullis, Mitzrayim was the most painful, but in a certain sense, that's the beginning of the healing. because when you can start to taste how bitter it is, that's a sign that at least you're feeling, at least you have feeling in your legs once again. Okay, Yehuda Colton, we're listening to you.
I was wondering, first of all, if Rebbe could. I understood the mashal of the king who makes the guy the Mishnah Lamelech, and I understood the nimshal. I was just wondering if Rebbe could connect it to Kel Nekamos a little clearer.
I'm sorry I didn't say it clearly enough. Kel Nekamos Hofia, again, the magic word is Hofia, right? That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in your life, it's either going to be, wow, thank you Hashem for coming to visit me, I missed you so much. Or there's going to be a sense of nekama. You're going to feel crushed by it, right? Because you're going to realize that all the times that I mislabeled HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness as a punishment. And I feel like the Egyptians were not able to receive the light of Hashem, and because of that, it was destroying. It was damaging to them. So that's what it means. The Hofia will either be amazing, a feeling of revelation that you embrace, or it'll feel like nekama. It'll feel like the biggest vengeance, right? Again, if you're someone who spends your whole life writing against God and denying God and speaking against God and declaring yourself, you know, trying to explain why there's no such thing as God, when Hashem displays himself in the world, you're going to feel like an utter fool. So that display of Hashem's revelation will be the greatest revenge possible.
Because the Siddur Matok Midrash, in the Hodus, by that pasuk of Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos Sophia, writes that it's mislaktim hanitzosos mitoka klipos, like gathering the sparks from within the klipos. So that's, okay. I think that fits really very well with that pasuk. And the other thing was that we know that when they see Hashem by Har Sinai, he has a livna sapir by his feet.
Yeah.
Kaviyachol. And it's supposed to be merames to the fact that Hashem was with us by the Siblos Mitzrayim and by the bricks in Mitzrayim, just like we were struggling with Mitzrayim, he was struggling with us. And so we know that Haroses is supposed to be merames to the Chomer Levanim.
Okay.
And I was just wondering if the fact that we're dipping the Maror in the Haroses is that the Maror is, we know that like the Maror is bitter things that end up being brachos.
Yeah.
And so the mar is the bitter thing, like, as you're in it, and then the charoses is the bitter thing looking back, seeing Hashem was always with us.
Absolutely.
Like the Chomer Levanim, the Libna Sapir that was by Hashem's feet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it. The merger of mar and charoses is for sure to help bring out that message. Absolutely. And I like the way you're saying it's the Libna Sapir, I think, is a beautiful way to redefine the bricks of Mitzrayim. Okay, Chaver, let's go on. I just want to give a shout out to my dear friend Max Engel, who's joining us with Mesiras Nefesh from the West Coast. Welcome. Great to see you. I know it's not easy being in a different time zone, but thanks for making the effort. Okay, Chaver, let's continue. So this explains, says our Rebbe, Dor Gedaliah, Vizehu Ha'inyan Shesider Baal Ha'ga. Everyone see where I am on the page? It's working? Okay. Thumbs up if it's working. You can see the screen. Yeah. Thank you, Shoval. So, Chaver, this answers the question that some of us, again, mentioned yesterday. Pesach, Matzah, Maror. What kind of strange order is that? Maror took place before Pesach and Matzah. Maror was the suffering. Pesach and Matzah is the redemption. But explains the Or Gedaliah, and again, many other tzaddikim had this idea beforehand, but he's elaborating and building Kedarko Bekodesh on earlier tzaddikim. Hagam shahamara hu agalus, and the matzah is the geula, but the hasaga, the ability to understand the mar, only comes after the geula. Hasaga hazu shagam besocha hester hayagila shchina, the realization and appreciation that the mar was also part of our story and part of the redemption, we only realize that retroactively. Barak la'achar shenegalu mitocha galus. When you get out of the galus and you're able to look back, you realize it was part of the plan. Ki mitocha galus ein margishin. Because when you're in the galus, it's hard to appreciate the gilo shechina, top of the left column. It's hard to appreciate the fact that Hashem was hiding out with you in the galus. Barak la'achar shenegalu hevinu ki gam galus hayu ba'ashkacha. That only afterwards they're able to look back and realize that the Golus itself was part of the Hashkachas Hashem. He brings one of the most, I think, really one of the most powerful Gemaras for anyone who's ever been in Golus, which is actually our entire life. Yeah, he brings such a powerful Gemara. It's a Gemara in Gittin. What does the Gemara in Gittin say? The Gemara in Gittin says, Shebe'is Churban Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was going up in flames, being destroyed. Amru, Mi Chamocha Be'ilim Hashem. We said, who is like you, Hashem? And the intention was, Mi Kamocha, look at the next word, it's not Elim, it's not a typo either. Be'ilmim. What's an Elim? Who knows what an Elim is?
A mute,
a person who can't speak. That's right. Mi kamoicha be'ilmim. Who alike you is mute? Who has remained quiet as long as you have Hashem? In other words, Hashem, look how the Romans are destroying your Beis HaMikdash. Or Hashem, look how, I don't know why I always use this example, but I find it to be like the, you know, like the ultimate chutzpah, like, you know, the atheist chevra who put billboards on the highways, you know, for like American Friends of Atheism or whatever. You know, like, they're paying for billboards to speak out that you don't exist. And Hashem, you just let them do it. You let them broadcast on YouTube, you know, all sorts of slanderous things about you. And you just sit back quietly. Mi kamocha, who has the strength? Elim is strength, but Ilmim, who has the strength to remain quiet for so long? Shakarish Baruch Hu Shosek, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quiet. Kiviyachol Negir Kolam Agadfim, all the blasphemers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you sit by quietly. And yet, that's part of your master plan. That's how you run the world. That you're willing to be patient and to wait, and when that time comes, for those who believed in you, oh boy, what a good laugh we're going to get. V'tischak liyom achron. What a celebration it's going to be when we're able to say, ha, see, we were right, Hashem really does exist. And how broken those who denied Hashem are going to be when Hashem is revealing Himself in the world. But Hashem, it's unbelievable strength to be quiet in such a time. How do you do it? It's a tmiya, eich ba zev lemsa shira. And we say this in the middle of the, you know, mi chamocha be'elam Hashem is the middle of Az Yashir. But the idea is that, yes, that when we came out of Mitzrayim, we realized, wow, Hashem, you were quiet for so long in Mitzrayim. But then you proved yourself. And that's the same feeling that the Jews brought to the Churban. When the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed, the Jews reminded themselves, right now Hashem is hiding, but He'll reveal Himself once again. And when He does so, it's going to be a very, very powerful experience. Bottom paragraph on the page. Uvechol adam yesh zman asher hu margish esoris lahaschel michadosh. So, Chevra, now let's try to connect it to the days in which we find ourselves. It's really unbelievable. Hashem could have made coronavirus in Shvat. Hashem could have made coronavirus in Cheshvan. Hashem made it right in time for Chodesh Nisan. We're in a Zman of Hischachus. We're ushering in HaChodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chadashim Rishonu Lachem Lachodesh Yashana. We're ushering in the month of Geula. Says Rav Gedalia Shur, every person has moments in their life where they have opportunities to grab onto something and to run with it, to start fresh. Shabalo ha'ara mimarum l'hagbi oso mishafel ha'matzav shalom. To lift ourselves up, to experience that illumination from a low place. U'lagbi as atzom b'darchei ha'chaim shalom l'derech chodesh. To start fresh. I don't know if you saw, there was this clip going around. Let me know, raise your hand if you saw it. There's a beautiful clip going around from Rav Manas Friedman. Anyone see it? That 5-minute clip? Right, where he was talking about, and other tzaddikim have been speaking about it also. You know, someone sent me an article yesterday from Bill Gates, actually. Was also mechaving to this nekuda. Which is, you could look at the world as falling apart right now, or you could look at the world as having this big HaChodesh Hazel Lachem reset that's taking place in the world right now. That everyone has to reassess. We have to think in a fresh way about what are we going to take from all of this. You know, maybe I'm lost in a lot of things that are really tough, that are really secondary. And this is an opportunity to start over. And when this is all over, we have to really, really reassess. Do I just go back to my old ways? Or do I make some significant changes in my life in terms of prioritizing what's important in life? So HaChodesh Hazel Lachem is this opportunity. Again, it's an opportunity we're experiencing. It's not just suffering. It's also suffering. On a surface level, it's a lot of suffering. But it's such a big opportunity to restart, says Rav Gedalia Shor. U'lagbias atzom b'darchei achayim shalom l'derech chadash, to find a new path. And the key is that when you have the opportunity, grab it. Mashcheini acharecha narutza. How did we leave Mitzrayim, Chevra? He says it was b'chi pazon. We left quickly. Because when these opportunities come, you got to grab them when you have them. To run with it and to run after it. Because if you think too much and start to weigh the different things, I don't know, what should I take from this? You'll end up getting stuck in Mitzrayim. When Hashem says we're leaving Mitzrayim now, grab it and run with it. Kumo b'nei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim b'sher nigla aleihem ashchina v'igbiu as atzom derech diluk. Hashem says, if you want to jump, now's your chance to jump. Grab on and jump. Do you want to jump or not? Well, I don't know. I got to figure out. My matzah's still cooking, you know? I need a few more minutes. You're going to miss the boat. If a person grabs it and runs with it, right, you'll have time afterwards to make the cheshbon ha-nefesh. And he says that's what Sfiras HaOmer is after Pesach. Pesach, we got to jump. You got to grab the opportunity while it's here. Sfiras HaOmer, we go step by step. We try to work through it piece by piece. But first, you got to grab it and you got to just jump. Mashcheni acharecha narutza. It's a trick of the Yetzer Hara, he says, to actually slow ourselves down and not grab the opportunity when it presents itself. Okay, Chaver, last paragraph. I'm jumping ahead. Speaking of jumping, I'm going to jump to the last paragraph of the piece on the next page. He concludes the piece on page 134. Uvamitzvas marer merumas gamkin od inyan. But there's one more point I want to emphasize, says our Rebbe, Rav Gedalia Shor, about the marer. And again, it's an opportunity that we're being given in our world today. You know, people are trying to figure out how to even have fun these days. Forget about how to find meaning in their life these days. How to even have a good time has become complicated because we're all stuck in this unfortunate situation. Again, on a surface level, unfortunate. Ki ba'eis asher ha'adam hu medushan be'oineg hu nase ma'od megusham. When we live our regular lives of being able to enjoy Hashem's world, sometimes we become very megusham, gashmias. When we're medushan ba'oineg, right? When we're absorbed in a world of pleasure seeking, we become very, very megusham. We become very physical, very gross, right? Not gross as like disgusting, but very, very. We become thickened, not sickened, but thickened by just a life of gashmias. We lose our refinement. Uve'eis asher ba'his galus ashchina. But when the Shechina reveals itself in the world, it becomes hard sometimes. You know, my wife keeps asking me, when Mashiach comes, so like, and she's not saying it, Chas V'Shalom, from a place of Gashmias. She's just wondering, like, so like, how does this work, you know? Like that painting, that nice painting on Elliot Fuchs's wall, like, do we get to take that with us to Eretz Yisrael when Mashiach comes? Like, do our houses fly to Eretz Yisrael? Do we leave all of our stuff behind and just like, hop on a plane? Or on eagle's wings, and just fly to Eretz Yisrael? Like, how exactly does this work? One of the things that's hard about getting out of Galus, whether it's, again, moving to Eretz Yisrael, or it's embracing Mashiach, or it's just living a life of spirituality, is letting go of my gashmias. Is being able to put down my toys to grab onto something more meaningful. So one of the challenges of chasing after the Shechina is when Hashem says, you know, it's time to run, you're like, hold on, I'm just like, I gotta just finish up, you know, I'm in like the fourth quarter of this Xbox, you know, NBA, like, tournament, like, I just need like 10 more minutes, Hashem. So Hashem's like, put down the controller and let's go. We gotta get out of here. Mashcheni acherecha narutza, we gotta run. Aval be'eis asher odom hu meducha b'yisurim. But when a person has marr in their life, the marr actually helps them to get out of there more quickly. Because if you're sitting in a world of gashmias of pleasure, it's hard to let go sometimes. It's hard to run. But when life gets really bitter, it makes it actually easier to run. Vizok tzas bira. And this is a little bit, says Rav Gedalia Shor, of an explanation of the Maimer Chazal. Chazal tell us it's a brachos daf heyam at aleph, and in yoma pevavam at aleph, that yisurim memarkin, that yisurim, that suffering actually can be cleansing. Because it gives perspective. It helps me to realign my priorities. Because when a person, hi mommy, that when a, I'm almost done, two more minutes. That when a, that when a, just doing laundry, great, thank you so much. What would we do without? So, no joke at all. I'm not saying it as a joke. So, Yisur Mermarkin, when a person has suffering, it gives perspective. When a person's living a life of Gashmias, so it's very easy to just, you know, to continue to cling to the Gashmias. But when a person has Maror, it's much easier, Mashcheni Acherecha Narutza, to run with Hashem. And therefore, yes, part of the Maror, part of the lesson of the Maror is, we thank Hashem for the Maror, that the Maror helps us to get out more easily. Ki rak al yedei hamor nucha lavo labechina shel matzah. The mor helps us to get to the matzah, to get to the freedom. El she'achshav yecholin letzeis hayesurin shel agolas famariras b'hamitzvah shel mor. But ends with Gedalia Shor, really on a tefillah. He says, halavai, we shouldn't have the bitterness of suffering. All the mor should be found in a little piece of romaine lettuce. Halavai, that should be the mor that serves as our maror. And then we're able to embrace the matzah and the Pesach and Mashcheni Acherecha Narutza to continue to run after HaKadosh Baruch Hu.